read your...
is found in the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, commencing with the 21st verse unto the end. We find Jesus in this particular verse in a city called Capernaum. 2 weeks ago, we had a lesson of a nobleman's son who dwelt in Capernaum. This city was visited many times by Christ, and many things were done in this city by Christ himself. This city was richly blessed in this respect with the visitation of Christ. But we find in Matthew 11 that Christ denounces this city, Capernaum, for he says if the mighty wonders and miracles had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, they had been yet to this day, which had been done in Capernaum. And where they had been so exalted, they likewise would be brought down to hell. This city was the metropolis of Galilee. Today you can't find that city anymore. You can't even find any ruins of it. The words of Christ was fulfilled. It was destroyed. It was brought down to hell. They rejected Christ. They rejected his teachings. All the blessings that they had, they despised. And my hearers, this denunciation which came upon Capernaum may likewise come down upon you and I. We likewise have been blessed richly by God. He likewise has given us that we likewise may come up to his house. We've been born and brought up under the teaching of the truth. We likewise have become members of the church, outward members, and we are richly blessed in this respect that we hear the word of the living God. But if we continue on in our sins as these people did in Capernaum, then this denunciation will be also fulfilled in your and I experience. For we likewise, if we continue on in sin, will be brought down to hell. And now we find that Jesus entered into the synagogue in Capernaum. Jesus entered into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Synagogues were built by the Jewish people after they came back from their 70 years stay in Babylon. These synagogues were used for prayer, for reading, for exhortation, and for places of rest. Jesus, on the Sabbath day, entered into the synagogue. The Sabbath day was a day that God had given unto his people from all eternity. From the day of creation, God separated this day for a day wherein we may rest, wherein we should worship God, and wherein we should glorify him. This day then, even Christ acknowledged. He went into the synagogue. Likewise, we have our Christian Sabbath day. This day we likewise are to use as he has commanded us. We are to rest upon this day. We are not to do any work whatsoever. God commanded in his law that no labor was to be done upon this day. It was forbidden unto the Jewish people even to make a fire to cook on that day. They were to keep this day holy. This day commenced at sunset and ended the next day at sunset. The laws were very rigid, very strict under Israel of old. We find a man going out gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And they brought this man to Moses, and they said, what should be done with him? And God said, take the man outside of the camp and stone him to death. They took this man outside of the camp, and they stoned him to death. Rigid, isn't it? What, just for a little thing like that, just gathering sticks on the Sabbath day? He had to die, he had to lose his life, he had to lose his soul? How awful. How many people today are breaking this commandment? You and I have eyes. We see our neighbors. We see what they're doing. How many we see mowing the lawns? How many we see painting their houses? How many we see and do odd jobs around the place that they haven't any time for during the week? They and their wife, they work all week long. They haven't got any time to do it. The wife washes on Sunday, and the man is busy outside the doors, keeping the place clean. Isn't that the life that we see round about us? Won't you admit that? How many people are desecrating this day? Do we desecrate this day? Yes, my hearers. How often do you not, you and I, desecrate this day? And every time we commit this sin, we deserve death. One little sin deserves death. It was that way under Israel of old. Oh, my hearers, if God should take us into account for what we do, it would be a lost matter for you and I. Thanks, there is a way of escape in the person of Jesus Christ, who never sinned, who likewise kept the Sabbath day. We find him entering into the Sabbath day in the synagogue to teach. May I exhort you, my hearers, in the first place, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. God commands you, not me, that's his word. And in the second place, let me entreat you to come into the synagogue, into the house of God on that day. Not just once, not just twice. Every time the house of God is open, you should come to that house. Jesus entered into the synagogue. Jesus enters here, my hearers. Jesus is here with his word, with his spirit. That's where we should gather. We never know when God may use his precious word. He may accompany it with power divine into your soul. Just once a day, and then the rest of the day, what do? You live for yourself. You live for your flesh. You got to have some ease. You got to have some pleasure. Probably you go visiting here and there. Oh, my hearers, if you have to give an account someday of what you have done on the Sabbath day, oh, terrible it shall be for you. If you have not Jesus, this precious Savior, who entered in the Sabbath day in the synagogue. And when he entered into the synagogue, there was a man in that synagogue with an unclean spirit. He was possessed with the devil. You don't find these things today. Now, they were exceptions under Israel. You know, it's written in the Word of God, for this reason the Son of God was manifested, that he should break the works of the devil. And when he was here upon earth, there were many people that were possessed with devils. This man was possessed with a devilish spirit. And when Jesus came into the synagogue, this spirit cried out. This spirit cried out that it knew Christ. It said, "Art thou come to destroy us? For we know thee, thou Holy One of God." Jesus commanded that this spirit should come out of the man. And now when it came out of this man, it tore this man. It did not want to leave it. But it had to. It had to at the word of Christ, for he commanded it to come out. And now, my hearers, no matter where we may go, where Jesus is preached, you will find the devil there too. You will find that evil spirit there busy. Oh, he's busy so many times in your mind and in my mind. He takes our mind away from what we're listening to. He puts us sometimes to sleep. We're indifferent about what we hear. He's always busy in the house of God, rocking the people to sleep if he can, so that they won't listen. And if they try to listen, he tries to bring in all sorts of thoughts and all sorts of things in your minds, which carries you away. You're busy with the world. You're busy with your occupation. You're busy with this and with that. You haven't even got a thought of what is being spoken of. Subject to the evil one who has such... God. Even when we pray that God would give us, that our minds and our ears and our hearts may be open, still we find that we can't even use our own strength to do this. We need God to do it. And now this evil spirit, when God comes into the temple with his Holy Spirit, and when he begins to speak, as Jesus did in this temple, and when he commands this spirit to come out of this man, if he should command this spirit to come out of you, there will be an earthquake inside. That spirit does not want to leave us. Oh, that spirit of the devil don't want to deliver itself up unto Christ, but it has to. The Lord Jesus has power. And with his word, he commands these evil spirits to come out. And if the evil spirit should come out of you, my hearers, it will rend you sore. Oh, it will tear you inside. All sorts of things will come up into your minds and into your hearts that you shouldn't give way. You should remain the life that you're leading. You should remain in sin in the world. Be with your friends and be with everything that's going the way it is. For if this spirit is delivered from you, there's such a change in your life. Then it will be so noticeable, my hearers, that this spirit does not have dominion over you anymore. It'll be seen in your conversation, in your walk, and in your life. And this man, he was delivered from this evil spirit. And the people marveled. They were amazed. They couldn't understand how that this carpenter's son had such power that he could deliver a person from such an evil spirit. And they all began to talk about Jesus. And now, my friends, Jesus came out of this temple, and he entered into a house of two brethren. It appears that these two brothers lived in Capernaum, James and John, it says. And we find that one of their wives' mothers was afflicted with a fever. And a nun, they tell him. And they had seen him do so many wonders in the temple. He had healed so many people and cured so many diseases. They knew that he could easily cure this woman of this fever, and they told him about her. And he went to her, and he commanded the fever to leave her, and she arose, and she ministered unto them. My hearers, when God created you and I, we were not subject to any diseases. We were not subject to any death likewise. We never would have had a fever in our life if we had remained what God had created us. But in and through sin, in and through the fall, afflictions have come into the world and upon our bodies. Death itself likewise has come. And now so many people have different kinds of fevers. Maybe you've had a fever in your life. Maybe you were also under the influence of that fever. What I mean, sickness. You've seen people that have fevers. Their temperatures go up sometimes to 104, 105, and then it's doubtful whether the person's going to live or not, because the fever has the power over such a person. They do everything to try to bring the fever down. And now this is the cause of sin, that these things come upon mankind. But there are likewise certain fevers that you and I have. And in through sin, my hearers, we are just burning sometimes with evil diseases, with evil desires, with evil lust. Or when I think of this word fever, I'm led back to a certain Ammon. He had such a feverish desire for his own sister. He wasn't satisfied until he had this woman, and he misused her. Such a fever that man had. It had such a power over him. How many are burning with lust? How many are burning with this self-same fever? How many commit adultery? How many leave their wives, and how many treat their wives as dirt under their ground and go to other women? Oh, how many are being led in this way by this devil, in other words. Then there are people that have a fever for money. They'll do anything to get money. Oh, they'll work and they'll slave and they'll try to do everything possible to get money, to get rich. You remember in this country, there was what they call the gold fever. I think it was in 1849 they found gold in California. Their houses and everything they had, and they went out to California for gold. This fever drew them out there. Oh, how many, my hearers, have various kinds of fever in this way, which will lead them to everlasting perdition. Now there's only one that can cure us of these fevers, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He cured this woman immediately. And if he should cure you, my hearers, of any fever that you are being led by, then you will find that you will come to him, and that you will need him to minister unto you. She ministered unto them, but you will need him to minister unto you. And now we find that this Jesus, he was such a compassionate Jesus, such a wonderful person. When I read of him sometimes, my heart just melts to pieces. And I think how compassionate and how filled with pity and affection he was to mankind. So many people came to him that were afflicted, that had divers diseases. They brought him to him and he healed them all. It says here in this chapter that they came to the door of the house where he was in. They surrounded the place. So many people came to him. And he cured them all. What a wonderful person he must have been when he was here upon earth. And he isn't any different today, my ears. He's still in heaven above, the same wonderful, compassionate, and affectionate Jesus, and that towards sinners. And after he had cured so many of divers diseases, that we find that he went out into an isolated place to pray. And then his disciples came after him and said unto him, all men seek thee. So then he said that he would go throughout Galilee, because therefore he was come to preach and to teach. And we find that after he had begun to go through Galilee, there came unto him a leper. The three Gospels mention this particular leper. We have it in Matthew, the 8th chapter. We have it in Mark, this first chapter. We have it likewise in the 5th chapter of Luke. A leper came unto him and fell down before him and worshipped him and said unto him, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And the Lord Jesus put forth his hand and touched this man and said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And the Lord Jesus spake unto him and said that he should not tell this to anyone, but that he should go and reveal himself unto the priest, which was according to the law, and he should offer that offering that Moses had commanded them to do. But this man, instead of doing what Christ had said not to tell it to anybody, he began to blaze it abroad. Well, I can forgive this man. I think if you and I were a leper and somebody cured us of it, we would want to praise that man to the skies. And that's what this man did. He went telling everybody what a wonderful Jesus this man was. He had cured him of his leprosy. And of course, from then on, Jesus couldn't go amongst the people so freely anymore. He had to go in desert places, and they all resorted to him. And now this man, this leper. You know, under Israel of old, it was considered an incurable disease. The Jews said God afflicted people with leprosy, and it was only God that could cure them. The reason that they spake like this was because we find that Miriam, the sister of Moses, she was afflicted by the hand of God for sinning against God and rising up against Moses. We find likewise Gehazi, the servant of Elisha. He likewise was afflicted by God because he had ran after Naaman and had required of him something that he should have had, he thought, for what Elisha had done. For these reasons, the Jews thought that this disease was given by God and only could be cured by God. This disease is called an infectious disease of the tissues and likewise of the nerves. This disease, it normally spreads over the body. And the body begins to deteriorate. Parts of the body become so corrupt that pieces of it begin to fall off. Now this disease then was considered by the Jews a terrible disease. A person afflicted with this disease, according to the law and examined by the priest, he was to live outside of the camp. Now there were two types of this disease. One was the chronic and the other was the acute. Now the chronic disease was that which covered a person over his whole body. He got like an enamel skirt over the body. It was dry and hard. When this person came before the priest and he had this all over his body, he was pronounced clean. For the simple reason that the chronic condition was not contagious. But the acute was something that broke the skin open. And you saw this red skin with white cells in it. And this open skin, if you were to touch it, immediately you would be infected with the same disease. A person then that had this acute disease, he was taken outside of the camp. He could not live anymore in his own home. He couldn't mingle with his family. He had to dwell isolated. The Bible says all the days that a leper was afflicted with this disease, he was to dwell outside of the camp. And when this person was brought near to someone else, then he was to cry out, "Unclean, unclean," for fear that somebody might get too close to him and be infected with the same disease. He was not to wear a covering on his head. Most of the Jewish people, they wore one of these turbans, but he was not allowed to do this. Likewise, they bound the bottom part of his lip with a band. This was a token that this man was afflicted with a disease which he was going to die from. For when they buried the Jewish people, they likewise bound their lips with a band. The reading of this particular disease in a commentary, the man described this disease as a very infectious disease which caused the body to deteriorate and rot away. A person who had this disease, have you seen him? Why, it affected his nerves and it made him deformed. It afflicted him something like arthritis does various creatures who we see. Their joints and everything become disformed and misformed. Their legs, if you looked at the back part of them, it was just like if their back part of their legs were just battered all the time with something sharp. It was wide open. This disease, my hearers, eventually took the life of a person. But today, this disease, I've told you this before, maybe some of you haven't heard this, but this disease is curable today. It was found out by a certain doctor by the name of D.A. Herbert Hansen. In the year 1871, he discovered that it was the bacillus that caused this disease. Just like the bacillus of tuberculosis. And discovering this, he immediately set to work to find a way of treating persons that were afflicted with this disease. And in the year 1848, they had a congress of doctors in Havana, Cuba. And these doctors decided that they would not call it leprosy anymore. They would call it Hansen's disease. You know, leprosy, oh, it's a terrible thing. It makes people dread to meet such a person that has such a disease. Considering that it's so contagious and that there's no cure for it, to take away the stigma of this disease. They call it now Hansen's disease. A person is treated, he's isolated for about a year, and they watch this person, and as this person begins to give way to the treatment and he becomes better, after 2 years, he's allowed again back into society, fully cured. Now, this disease has dropped down from where it was 100% fatal to 10%. 10% of the people die of it. It is twice as many men as women that are afflicted with this disease. Now, this disease is known to be found in many hot countries. But unusually, and to the wonder and the amazement of doctors, they find many cases in Russia, in Finland, in Norway, in these cold countries, and even in Korea. There are so many people that are affected with this disease. Even here in our United States, down in the state of Texas, many lepers dwell there. They are found quite numerous in this particular state, in Texas. Likewise in Louisiana, and also in California, and in Florida, cases break out of leprosy. Down in a city called Careville in Louisiana, the United States government has a hospital called a lepratorium. The people are treated in this particular hospital for this disease. And now this man who I am speaking about, he had this terrible disease, leprosy. He was dwelling outside of the camp. And now this man somehow or other heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith cometh by hearing the word of God. He had heard that Jesus had performed so many wonders and so many miracles in curing various people from all their diseases that he began to think, I wonder if he could cure me. The more that he thought about it, the more that he heard about Christ, the more he began to believe that he would be able to cure him. His faith started to grow so strong. He began to believe that this person who he heard about was more than an ordinary man. He believed that he was God-man, that he was the Messiah, that he was the one that could heal him. And now he was dwelling outside of the camp. And now how was he to go to Jesus? There were other people that were with him too, because these lepers, they dwelt together. There were other lepers. And now his faith became so strong that he came to the decision that he would go. He had nothing to lose. He was going to die of this disease anyway, so what had he to lose? So he decided to go to Jesus. And now he comes. There were obstacles in the way. In the first place, there were people in the way. Every person that he met, he had to cry out to, unclean, unclean. So to avoid meeting the people, he went in a roundabout way, so he wouldn't meet too many people on his way to Jesus. But now when he came to Jesus, in Matthew 8 we read, Jesus just came down from the mount, and great multitudes followed him. And there were many people round about Jesus. How was he now to go to Jesus? What would all these people do? What would they say? What would they think? He had to cry out, unclean, unclean. That would cause an awful commotion, an awful stir among those people. He stood afar off, meditating, what should I do? Finally, he decided that he would go. His faith was so strong to believe that if Jesus willed, he most certainly would be cured. It all hinged upon whether Jesus will or not. Will he cure me? Oh, suppose I go through all those people. Suppose I fall down before him and ask him to do so. Suppose he turns me away. Suppose he says, I can't cure you. I ain't got the power to do so. I ain't got the ability to do so. I can't cure people with this disease. But this man, he overcome all these obstacles too. He decided he had to go. He was the only one that could cure him. And we find this man going through all the people. Maybe all the people spread apart from him. They all became afraid of him. And we find him coming and falling down before Jesus. And he falls down before him and he looks up unto him and he says, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Picture in your mind this man all covered over with this filthy disease, a black creature, or maybe a stench. And here he's laying before this holy one, this pure one, this white one. This one who never could be infected with any disease. Oh, he was looking up unto him. He said, Lord. He acknowledged him to be Lord. He acknowledged him to be that person who had afflicted him. Lord, you know all things. You know why I'm here. You've afflicted me. You are God. You've done it. It's in your hands. And now if you will, Lord, you can make me clean. Such was the prayer of this man. And the Lord Jesus, he stretched forth his hand and he says, I will, be thou clean. Because he touched this man, that infectious disease could never attack Christ. He could not become a leper because he was without sin and he was not subject to any diseases. But here we have Jesus in his love, in his pity, in his compassion, touching this man. Oh, my friends, he has a feeling for our infirmities. He is moved with pity and compassion. He was moved even towards this man affected with this disease. And he put his hand upon him and he spake wonderful words to him. I will, be thou clean. And by the word of Christ, immediately there was such a transformation upon the body of this man. His skin began to clear up. It became like a little child's. He became just like if he had just been born. Oh, how clean he was. How perfectly whole he was made by the word of Christ. He was cured then of this incurable disease. And we find that Christ spake unto him and said that he should not tell anybody about it. Oh, my hearers, how could anybody keep quiet? If you had something like that done to you, wouldn't you want to tell who done it? Wouldn't you want to praise the doctor if he cured you? That's what's usually done. God is forgotten and the praise is given to the creature. And now this man, he went around blazing it forth that Jesus had made him whole. Now in this, my hearers, we likewise have this man as a type of each and every one of us. The leprosy is a type of sin. And in through one man, sin entered into the world, and death shall come upon all men, for all have sinned. But we all are sinners. We all are lepers. Maybe most of yous know this with the mind. Most of yous will consent with the mind that you are sinners, and that you are leprous in the sight of God. But how few like this man was a leper in reality. All this man is a type of a sinner under the conviction of sin. When God convicts a person of his sins, then that person begins to know himself as a sinner. Not just with the head, not just with the mouth, but he's a sinner inwardly. He has become that by the work of the Holy Spirit. And oh, when a person becomes a sinner in the sight of God, and then, my hearers, you will find him going alone. You will find him weeping, crying, and sighing to God that he's such a guilty, filthy, vile, polluted sinner. Now, this is the work of the convictions of the Holy Spirit, to teach what we have become in and through the fall in Adam. And now when God begins to teach such a person, that person is led by the same Spirit to hear about Jesus Christ. Now, the more that a sinner hears about Christ and how that he cured so many, Mary Magdalene, Manasseh, David, great sinners, they were forgiven, they were taken home to glory. When they hear of these wonderful things, and they know themselves to be such a sinner, and they come under the word, hope springs up in their hearts. They begin to hear that this Jesus, he's able to save from all their sins. And the more they hear about him, the more, just like this man, they become convinced that he is able, that he is mighty, and that he has the power to do so. And the more that this gospel sound comes to them, they finally come to a decision like this man. He says, I've got nothing to lose. I'm going to die of this disease. I will go unto him. And if he but wills, then I shall be made whole. How many of my hearers have been brought to that decision? Have you been brought to that point? I can't do anything else but die. I gotta die. I'm a sinner. I'm gonna be damned. I'm a lost creature. To whom else can I go? Have you made that decision to go to him? And as you come to him, you will find many obstacles in the way. This man found people in the way, and that's what you will find in the first place. The instant that God begins to work in your heart and you begin a reformation, you will have people against you. Oh, that ain't sin. That ain't nothing evil. That ain't wrong. You don't have to leave this or leave that. That's what people say to you. But my hearers, if God has convicted you, no matter what the people say, it's sin to you. You're a sinner. And you're going to be damned for your sins. And you're on your way to Christ. You've heard of him. And you've made that decision that you're going to come to him. Not only do people stand in the way, but my hearers, when God opens up this wound of sin, then we begin to do something too. We begin to do good. We begin to live right. We begin to work just as hard as we think the Spirit is working in us. We want to make it good with God. Oh, we want to live so close to God and so close to his law that we wouldn't sin anymore. Now, this is what we set out to do. Have you ever done it? I'm not talking Greek, I'm talking American, and this is what takes place in the heart of a creature. When God begins with him, then he begins too. He begins to work. In Holland, they say he works three shifts a day. He's working day and night trying to save himself, trying to make himself good, trying to get to God to be free, to be delivered from his sins. And my hearers, it's all a physician of no value. When a person is brought to feel and to realize that he cannot overcome sin, for that's what happens, sin is too strong for that person. He's made resolutions. He's made his vows. He makes promises. Oh, he wants to live for God. But unexpectedly, he falls headlong into some sin that he's been praying against, that he wishes he never would do anymore. Have you ever done that? Then you learn to know that you're a weak creature. You have no power against sin. And then you find yourself to be so helpless, that you said inside, well, it's no use anymore. What's the use of fighting against sin? What's the use of trying to make war against sin? It's an impossibility to overcome sin. And in your despondency, then sometimes it pleases God to speak home a word with power divine. He points out to you the remedy. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And my hearers, when God opens up this way to your soul, oh, then there is hope, then there is expectation. Oh, then you begin to see that there is forgiveness in this precious Jesus. And then you begin to flee to him. This is what this man did. He fled to Jesus Christ. There are many obstacles were in the way, but he finally got there. And when he came there, he fell down before him in a token of adoration, in a token of the majesty and the glory that he's seen in this wonderful person. He fell down at his feet and he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Let me ask you, is that your prayer? Have you been brought to the feet of Christ? Are you laying there saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean? Do you believe you can? That he's powerful enough? That he's able enough? All my hearers, sometimes in this case, it lasts a long time. How long does a person stay here? Oh, this man was cured immediately. But I believe there are souls that are listening to me that have been in this state for years. They keep coming to him. They don't know where to go with their burden, with their sin. They're lying at his feet. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And what are they waiting for? Why, they're waiting for Jesus to speak those wonderful words to them. I will, be thou clean. Oh, should he ever speak them to that seeking heart, that longing soul, oh, then I am sure he will do just like this man did. Oh, that's the day you're looking for, isn't it? Isn't that what you want him to do to you? Don't you want to be made clean? Oh, you say, I've been looking for years and years and praying, and it don't seem like I'll ever be made clean. Sometimes I've got into such a fit and said, I ain't going to pray anymore. There's no use. What's the use? It's a lost matter. No use going to Jesus anymore. He ain't going to save me. He ain't going to save the likes of me, such a creature like me. And then again, to who else can you go? Where are you going to go? You're going to go back into the world? You're going to serve sin? You're going to serve the devil again? Can't do that either. And then they are again encouraged under the word. They are given the hope again. And this is the way it's been going for years and years with souls. And this is what they're waiting for. They can't cleanse themselves. They can't heal themselves. This disease was incurable. And this disease that you and I have is incurable. There's only one that can cure it, and that is Christ and his precious blood. And if he has brought you to his feet, he most certainly will cure you in his own time and in his own way. Regardless of your unbelief, regardless of your doubts and of your fears, he has been drawing you to that particular place so that you will look up unto him like this leper did. Are you doing so? So then there's a day coming when I might meet you and you will say, well, he did. He spake to me. He said, I will be thou clean. Oh, I hope to meet you someday, that God may give you that blessing and myself too, that we may rejoice in this precious Jesus who is able to cure the worst of diseases, and that sin. My time is gone, my hearers. Next week we will pick up the lesson from this point. The Lord bless the feeble instructions this day to you in mortal souls. That's all.